welcome you to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses, saving jobs, we're saving our community. Now, if we save a soul in the process, don't hold that against me. We'll just call that icing on the cake. The mission here is to build strong businesses in our community so we can put our people to work. And we do that with business development, job creation, economic empowerment, and service. If you ever find yourself at a business crossroads and not sure which way to turn, just turn on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We have the solutions right here. And if we don't have it, we know where to find it, because we got the juice. We got the connections up in here. Matter of fact, I even have a young lady sitting here with me, Wena, who going to help me on this mission. Good morning, Wena.
Good morning, Robert. Hey, DMV.
The DMV is out there listening. I know they're listening, Wena.
Oh, me too. No doubt.
They tell me. They be saying, hey, I heard you. I like what you're talking about. So I'm going to keep on talking about it. I'm going to keep on preaching until I can't go no more. I used to sing that old song in church. When I done the best I can, oh Lord.
Help the peoples, Robert.
And I can't do no more, oh Lord. They're going to pull my darn mic. Folks, welcome to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I'm Robert Gatewood, your host, and we are going on 8 years of broadcasting here in this booth. And it's been a phenomenal 8 years because we are making a difference. We have been putting out a message of economic empowerment. We are in the spirit. We've been given a little shot of adrenaline by Wakanda and the Black Panther.
Yes.
So we are on board with making sure that we are doing what we need to do to get ourselves right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, this time is up. It's time to, like Kia Coffey said the other day, she said the time is now. We can't wait until next year or next month and keep putting that, like Dr. King said, let's not get seduced by this drug called gradualism. And we got to jump into this thing right now.
Both feet,
arms, legs, hands, knees, and everything else. Now, if you want to join us today in our conversation, call us at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Yeah, I'm all just chopping it to bits here to get going. Speaking of Kia Coffey, that home and debt to wealth buying seminar, we had a great turnout last month. We're going to do it again tomorrow. So from 11 to 2 a.m., I will be moderating again, and we're going to be doing a home and debt to wealth seminar. That's going to be at the Beko Center over in Lanham, Maryland. Go to marketingpulpit.com. We have it right there on the homepage, and you can register. We had such a turnout. People talking about they're going to bring their kids from out of state, and just had a good time. Go to the website and register and check out our other events. We got a good lineup today. Later in the show, we're going to have Miss Falasha Day. If you guys out there wondering what the heck is going on with these taxes this year. Yeah, the IRS machine website going down. People trying to pay their money and tax. I mean, it was already moved from the 15th to the 17th.
Right.
Then something else happened. Got moved again, and now people saying it's going to move again. What's the deadlines? What are the rules? So we're going to have Miss Falasha Day is going to call in later on to talk about all this stuff that's going on with taxes and the IRS. And what you going to share with us later today, Miss Wena?
Well, today I'm starting a really powerful series about the life cycle of marriage for all my married and unmarried folks, because there is literally a full-scale attack on marriages right now. And I'm on the front lines fighting it out with my couples. I am fighting to the death.
I see you have your armor on over there.
That's right. Yeah. So I'll be talking about that later for sure.
Well, I'm going to tie in. Coincidentally, I'm going to be talking about business life cycles. Did you know that every business has a cycle? The industry has a cycle. The product has a cycle. And if you don't know what they are, you could be damaging your marketing efforts by lack of knowledge.
Oh, I love that.
Every industry goes through the introduction phase, the growth phase, the maturity phase, and the decline. If you're using a strategy in the growth stage that you should be using in the mature phase, you're probably not doing something right. Or if you're doing something in the introduction phase that you should have been doing in the decline phase, you are literally hurting your business. And the sad part about it, Wendy, is that it doesn't cost you any more.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of applying the resources you have correctly.
Right.
So, for instance, in the growth phase, it is a directional phase. You're telling folks what to do, because in the introduction phase, it's an instructional phase.
Okay.
You're telling folks, look, this is how you use this. Because in the introduction phase, people don't know that much about the product. They don't know how to use it. They don't know where to get it, the applications of it. So in the introduction phase, there's a lot of indirect communication type of advertising and marketing, where you're kind of nurturing the client, bringing them up to date, letting them know about you. Mm-hmm. Then you slide into that growth phase where things start to just take off.
Right. Word of mouth, things pick up.
That's exactly
recognizability.
Right. Amen. See, the problem, though, when people get in that phase, they get a little too happy sometimes. The money start looking good to them. So they start going out buying bigger cars. They move into a bigger office suite. Start giving their kids, they start buying bigger houses, putting flat screen TVs on all the walls.
Uh-oh.
Their dog have a pool, and they been going to fool. And we've seen this. I've seen this happen so many times, Wena. That's why I felt it was necessary to bring this up today. When you get into that growth phase, you start to squirreling that money away.
Right.
And start preparing yourself for the next phase, which is maturity. When competition is fierce.
Preach.
It is fierce. It's brutal. And if you prepared yourself correctly in that growth phase when you were making money, instead of running out buying big cars and upgrading your office and putting marble floors in and tabletops, and you should be using that money, reinvesting, getting ready for that next phase, and really starting to look for an exit strategy, not necessarily from your business, but maybe from that industry or that cycle, and segue into something else.
I need to hear that.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
That is so, so you don't have to necessarily get any more money to advertise than you're already spending, but you need to spend it more wisely to tie in and align with the industry cycle that you're in.
Right. Or to be able to shift if you need to.
That's right. Be ready to shift.
Yeah.
Wena, I'll use a medical parallel. It's an impractical physician who opens up a patient's heart, and only then do they discover that this person has a ventricle and an atrium in the heart. You say, wait a minute. Hey, I didn't see that coming. If you are a good doctor, you already know what's going to be in that chest when you open it up.
True.
The same thing for a prudent business owner. You should know that there is an intro, a growth, a maturity, and a decline. You shouldn't be saying, hey, I didn't see that coming.
Oh, but Robert.
It's coming.
Right, but so many of us just know we have a dream. And we just launch out there on that dream. And we don't always plan in advance for what happens after we finally get the business up and running.
But, I like the idea of just jumping on the dream. I'm not one of these folks that like to spend 80 years planning on something and afraid to pull the trigger.
Me either.
But I'm saying once you're out there, particularly when you start making money, mm-hmm. it's never too late to go back and say, look, am I doing this right?
Well, preach. Educate us today.
That's when somebody has to call a guy like me. Pat myself on the back over here. You have to call a guy like me and say, look, okay, I'm making a little money now.
Right.
Let me go back and see if I'm doing this right. Because my phone have jumped off the hook this week. Because I have brand new people. I had a young guy come to me yesterday. He's about to launch his company. We sat down in about 5 minutes. I told him that his name that he's about to name his company is not right.
Mm-hmm.
One, you can't trademark it. It's a name. It was cute. But I said, you'll never be able to trademark this. So if you're going to start building your brand right now,
right,
let's do it right.
So you saved him some steps.
Saved him so many steps. I have another client, been a client for years. She's been out there for many, many years. Now she's ready to go to another level. Look, I've been kind of sitting here stuck in this little area right now. How can I get to the next level? Well, one thing, you got to get some assurance that what you're doing is right so you can boldly advertise.
Right.
Most people don't advertise because they're afraid they're going to lose their money. And Wena, if I was looking at that kind of investment and outlay of cash and I wasn't sure about it, I wouldn't spend it either.
Right.
But the option is not to not do it. It's to find a way to do it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And therein lies, once again,
So you got me preaching early this morning.
My bad.
I got me preaching early. Ha! Let me get my, like the Southern preachers do. Ha! We talking about... My dad was a preacher, so look out. Folks, you're listening to The Marketing Pulpit. I'm Robert Gatewood, your host. Got a great show today. We actually had a lot going on in the news. Starbucks has landed in hot water, no pun intended.
Yes.
But you know what? I went to the Starbucks the other day. They treat you good now.
Oh.
They don't run you out at all. I moved my bed in there. Lady came out and fluffed my pillows for me. You need some more coffee there, Mr. Gatewood? Hey, look. Don't be running me out of here. All right, now I got your number.
Right.
So you can get some good you can get some good treatment now in Starbucks. Now look, don't go out there and abuse it. They're a little sensitive right now. So don't go out there and take advantage. But they are very nice. I have to go by here after work and move my living room furniture in there now since they don't run you out anymore.
Oh my goodness.
Got my own private bathroom. Thank you, Starbucks. They stepped up to the plate. They did what you're supposed to do. They did like a textbook case in PR. Now, some folks are still kind of boycotting them. And I don't know. I think if, when somebody does the right thing, you got to at least acknowledge that they did it. Now, if you want to go ahead and continue support our neighborhood, coffee shops in our community,
right,
the black ones and so forth, do that by all means.
Absolutely.
But when a company steps up to the plate and does the right thing, we at least have to give them some props, which I am doing today. Let's see. What else is going on? We had Sean Hannity. He's out there. Now, this is once again why I have to talk about the power of the media and why we have to have more outlets like what we have here at Radio 1, the Marketing Pulpit, WOL 95.9, and so forth. These guys, they have been exposed. We had Sinclair Broadcasting a month ago where they had all these broadcasters reading these robotic scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And because they wanted to, I guess, pump President Trump's agenda. Well, now we found out that Sean Hannity and Donald Trump share the same attorney, which is a gross conflict of interest. He should have revealed this to his audience. He should have said in full disclosure, this guy is my attorney before I start batching the Mueller investigation. Well, folks, that's some of the things that are going on. Coming up, we're going to have Falasha Day talking about all these tax regulations. Don't you go anywhere. This is The Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM,
good morning. It's WOL Traffic and Weather Update brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. On the Beltway Interloop, southbound after Route 4 Pennsylvania Avenue, construction in the left lane and delays from 202 to get around it. Inbound Suitland Parkway, still pretty slow. Alabama Avenue to Staten Road. Lingering volume on New York Avenue inbound from northeast into northwest as you pass Florida Avenue down toward the 3rd Street Tunnel. Through all the traffic signals there, still pretty slow. And on 295 southbound, you're very heavy from Eastern Avenue past East Capitol Street. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation invites you to take steps for cures at a walk event near you. Get started at cctakesteps.org. Now your WOL weather forecast for today. Sunny, high around 60 degrees. Clear overnight, tonight down to 40. Tomorrow, a couple of afternoon clouds, otherwise mostly sunny, and a high near 63. Steve Hirshhorn for 1450 AM and 95.9 FM, WOL, where information is power.
Do you know where you are in the life cycle of your business or your relationship? Folks, we're talking life cycle today. Every cycle of life, every cycle of business is not created equal. You may be doing it all wrong. And I got Wena over here. She got an amen for me.
Yes.
Amen up in the house.
Yes.
Ha!
You better stop. I'm not going to sit too close to you. I don't want to get struck down.
Hey, look, now I have cred since my dad was a minister. I think I have, I get like a pass.
Right.
Since he...
You have diplomatic immunity.
That's right. I have holy immunity. I'm not going to get struck. My dad has cast a big shield over me with his 51 years of preaching in the same church. So I can say, ha, hallelujah, ha.
Covered in the blood.
That's right. I am. Hey, what, you talking some pretty gospel.
That's it.
Sayings over there. Saying like you've been there. I have a witness in the house.
That's right.
So you might slap me off this chair. All right now. Don't be blaspheming up in. I am not blaspheming. I'm not preaching that gospel. I'm preaching business development. And I say that in my opening. Folks, you're listening to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. Don't forget our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites. If you're looking for an office space, if you're looking for a place to call your business home, go to BLESuites.com. Folks, that place is the bomb. They got like these great, I mean, they got office spaces that you got one little space, you got a little space if you need, don't need as much space. These great conference rooms.
Yeah, I love the way they cut up and configure those spaces.
Oh, man, that thing is so on point. You get a, you can have a conference room that'll fit almost 50 people. They got a big training room downstairs on the first floor. Then they got these little cozy, comfortable conference rooms that'll hold like 4 people, 8 people. So if you have an event coming up, you have a workshop, a seminar, some days you just need, you have a group. Let's say sometimes you have people coming out of town, so your little regular office won't hold all the folks.
Right.
You need a bigger space. Get one of those and just rent it. As a matter of fact, if you have a regular private office, it's part of your lease. You don't have to pay extra. So you don't have to pay for that conference room in your square footage that you only use once a year.
Right.
So anyway, folks. Go to BLE Suites. Call them at 301-322-1700 or go to BLESuites.com. We have a caller on the phone. Roy, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mr. Stark? Thank you for taking my call. And I'm an avid listener.
Thank you.
And I just want to piggyback on something you said about the life cycle. I think you were talking about business in reference to business.
Yes, sir.
But it also, as you know, it applies to your life as well. Especially when we're young in our income earning years, when I think you said something about making as much money as you can.
Right. Ooh, Roy, you are preaching.
You know what? if my grandfather would have lived long enough, he would have told me, never get yourself into a car payment. Because I found out that car payments, it is the sinking Titanic of your life.
Roy, you know what? You are saying, because I'm thinking, Roy, over what I just said a minute ago. You say apply this to your life, because think about
it. Life.
There is a point in your life during that growth phase where you should be where you make more money than you are when you're like 90 years old. Those years when you're like making your most money, you should have a strategy for that part of your life so that when you shift into those later years of your life, you plan properly. You are exactly right. I hadn't thought about that.
And it was so funny how that you said that, because, you know, that's why I've been there now for, I guess, maybe about 15, you know, something years. I've been debt-free. I don't have any debt.
Wow, congratulations.
Stuff like that. But I got to tell you, if any young person is listening, I would tell them, do not do a car payment. Because it is a sinking Titanic in your life. Because when people get into a car payment, they don't think they understand that you have to keep up the maintenance with the car, or the car may get wrecked. Some people only elect to get a $500 deductible. Well, now you can't get the car fixed, so you ain't even got the $500 to pay the deductible.
Roy, you're preaching it. Roy, look, I want to thank you.
I would highly encourage any young person listening, and some older people as well, that find you a good mechanic, buy you a used car, and then you take that money that you're going to save from that you would be putting into a car payment and buy you a house.
Folks, you heard it from Roy. Roy, thank you, man. Thank you, and keep listening. Keep listening. We appreciate your input. All right, folks, that's Roy. Roy said, folks, don't be putting all that money in that car. And let me tell you, folks, if you also need some good advice, don't forget about this Debt to Wealth seminar that's taking place tomorrow at the Kia Cottages presenting. Go to marketingpulpit.com. So we have several events this week that are going to be promoting death and taxes. That must be
Cinco de Mayo is coming up, but goodness.
That must be because I have Falasha Day. Falasha Day, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
You mean say deaf? I must have been thinking. You know, the only two things that are assured are deaf and taxes. So, tell us, Philogy. I had to get you on today because there was some confusion this year about taxes and deadlines. Fill us in on what's going. What is the story? When was taxes due? Why was it not due on the 15th of April like it normally is? What happened at the IRS? Please bring us up to date.
Well, first off, the 15th fell on a Sunday.
Okay.
So with that being said, anytime the 15th, any tax due dates fall on the 15th of the month and it's on a weekend, the taxes are due, or the tax monies are due that following business day. So the 15th fell on a Sunday this year, which allowed us to the tax return to be due on the 16th. However, D.C. has a holiday that time, so it allows us to, well, the IRS to extend the due date until the 17th.
Wow, so we had Sunday, then we had the D.C. holiday. Now, what holiday is that in D.C.? Yeah.
I think it's like Emancipation Day.
Right, that's right. That's exactly right. You're right.
It's something that we don't really know about.
We need to know more about it. I got you, though. I got you. You're right.
So that's the second time that we had the taxes extended. And then, however, due to the overload, the IRS system crashed on Tuesday. And so people weren't able to make their payments. People weren't able to submit their returns. I even struggled in getting acknowledgments back from the previous night. And it was just a mess. So they allowed us to submit extensions and payments by the 18th.
Hmm. So let me ask you this. So did anything else happen that we now can extend it to next week?
Look, I wish, Robert, but no, that's not the case. Wednesday was the last day.
Now, what if people, like many people, I understand, I'm going to pay my taxes late this year. I got so much going on. I got Stormy Daniels I got to worry about. I got the Russians. I got the Syrians. I may never pay my taxes again. So now some people felt the need to extend their taxes. Now, how did that work? Tell us about this extension process.
Oh, well, I actually feel like the extension is quite necessary regardless if you're going to file your taxes on time or not. I'm going to be honest with you. Just file the extension regardless. One, if you filed an extension and do not get your taxes in by the due date, which was this Wednesday, then that gives you all the way up until October to have your taxes filed, and you will not receive a late filing penalty. The issue is if you owe taxes, right, and you're on extension, you still need to definitely pay your taxes. Actually, you should have paid it by the 18th, but pay your taxes immediately.
Let me ask you this. I've always had a question about this. How do you know what to pay? Like you said, I've heard this said time and time again. Even though you don't file your taxes on the 18th, 17th this year, but you still need to pay if you owe. How do you know if you owe if you haven't done your taxes?
Oh, what do you mean? How do you not know if you owe? If you owe the previous year, that is a sign that you're definitely more than likely going to possibly owe in the future year.
So it's based on what you did the previous year.
Exactly. Unless things are completely different, a life-changing situation, you pull money out of your retirement. If it's a life-changing situation, then things will not be the same as last year. But if your tax returns is pretty consistent and you owed that money in 2016, then more than likely, because there's no drastic change, Robert, you're going to end up owing close to about the same amount this year.
So you you go ahead and pay that amount based on last year. Then if there's a difference, you reconcile it when you do the taxes.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. I always wonder about that.
Yeah, I guess the IRS is pretty quick to give you your money back, but you got to give it to them up front, right, Felicia?
They want the money. But you know, see, that's the thing. If you're an employee, the money is taken immediately. But if you are a business owner, we pay the taxes after our expenses, either with your estimated tax payments, but everything is after our expenses as business owner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is great.
Wow. Now, what about business? Now, tell us about business deadlines. How does that work?
Okay, so I don't know what went wrong, Robert. What told IRS that changing the business due date last year was just something acceptable? So what they did was they allowed corporations to file their tax returns by April 15th, which they also got the extension of the 18th as well. But if you were a partnership or an S-Corp, you had to have your tax in by March 15th.
What?
Yeah.
That seems kind of backwards, doesn't it?
Thank you. And that's what I'm confused at, because with partnerships and S-Corps, you have so many different shareholders. You got to get the K-1s out while we're to them. They need the most time.
Wow. Wow.
It is just really confusing, but corporate tax due date was April 15th, but with the 18th deadline this year, and then export and partnership returns was March 15th, Robert.
Well, But Velocity, I know you're a busy person over there, and I appreciate you taking the time this morning. Now, if somebody needs some help with taxes and just accounting in general, how can they find you?
Oh, well, guys, you can find me on all things social media, which is my name, Velocity, the accountant, FOLASADE, the accountant on all things social media. You can also go to my website, Accounting with Velocity. So Accounting with, and my name, Velocity, FOLASADE.
Velocity, I appreciate it. Thank you. And we'll be in touch with you soon. We'll see you in the coming weeks, okay?
Yep, thank you, Robert.
All right, so that's Velocity. Call this sister. Man, don't be trying to do these complicated taxes yourself. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about life cycle and relationship. Man, this is a life cycle kind of Friday. This is the Marketing Pulpit with Wena in the co-host seat. We'll be right back after the break.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have any body to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
protection,
friendship,
escape, independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injuries,
tears, death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
WOL Washington, W240DJ Washington 95.9, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
All right, folks, we're having a Life Cycle Day. We're having a Wealth Day. Later on, we're going to have Mr. Antoine Thompson is going to be talking about community wealth. He's the National Executive Director of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. So he's coming up at 11:15 hour. I am Robert Gatewood. This is the Marketing Pulpit. I'd like to welcome all of the new listeners. If you are out here and you say, how in the heck did I stumble upon this crazy guy? Well, thank you, Lucky Stars. This may be one of the best decisions or best mistakes you ever made, because we're about economic empowerment. We're about building businesses. We're about creating jobs. We're about mental health. We're about accounting. We're about wealth. We're talking about health. We're talking about a whole lot of things that's going to make your life better. And today we just happened to come upon this topic of life cycles. We talked about business life cycles earlier.
Right.
And the bottom line, Wena, and I'd like to thank you again, Wena, for joining me on this beautiful Friday, as you do so often. Every time you come into the booth, it just lights up. Look at this place. It's like the sun is up in here. Up here shining. But it's true, though. Y'all should see this lady. Go to marketingpulpit.com. Check out this beautiful sister.
Thank
you, see
sir.
Why I am so glad to have her among our very talented co-hosts. Now, we're talking about life cycles. Now,
right.
I'm here thinking that I got this lock on, that this life cycle thing applies only to businesses. Now, Roy done already corrected me, done checked me one time. Now, you about to check me again. You're saying this applies to relationships.
Oh, come on, Robert. You know that.
Well, I had to do the setup, okay?
Right, right. Well, you know, when you told me that you wanted to talk about the life cycle of industries, I thought, oh, this is a great segue to talk about the life cycle of marriages. And I want to make it a series because, you know, I was telling you earlier that marriages are under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to get to talking about how affairs and all types of them happen in marriages. And folks are always so baffled and paralyzed by them. But we need to talk about the life cycle of a relationship and the genesis of what creates all of that vulnerability in a marriage that could lead to an affair. And that's where I want to start.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I was talking about business earlier.
Yep.
That you have to do certain things at the beginning, certain things at the middle, certain things.
Come on, Robert.
Now, you telling me you can't just do a relationship the same way all the way across?
You better bring it on through all the way.
So you telling me there's maybe in the beginning, you got to give out some candy and chocolates. And
right.
I mean,
right.
Break it down for
right,
me. Break
right,
it down.
Right. That is the genesis. I want to start talking about the day individuals and couples walk into my office and say these words.
Okay.
Wena, our dating relationship was really positive and we decided to get married.
Preach.
And now my partner's expectations have changed and it feels like I don't know the rules.
Ooh.
That is literally the beginning of the problem. And if couples don't get a handle on that, it follows them through the entire relationship and that sets them up for the potential to have some real issues like an affair. So I wanted to give folks a couple of tips that could help to affair-proof the relationship, but also just sum up the problem in one word.
Okay.
Expectations.
Expectations.
Bring it, Robert. Expectations, right?
Expectations.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, you did the baritone.
Yeah, I'm a Barrett White voice every now and then, you know.
Right.
Sometimes I leave Trump at home and bring up Barrett White.
Right. So, you know, whether you live together or not before you get married, it's not uncommon that you and your partner had one set of expectations for the dating relationship and another set for the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of times couples don't really clearly outline those expectations, but they think that they're talking so much and getting to know each other during that dating phase. And then they jump the broom, they tie the knot, they say, I do. And all of a sudden it feels like something drastically changed and you don't know each other anymore.
So it went through one of these, like in business, it shifted to one of these different cycles. They didn't adjust.
Correct. First of all, they didn't know that there was a cycle.
Okay.
And that's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
One of the most common and unhealthy expectations that I hear from men and women in session is that the marriage won't be any different from the dating relationship.
So you're saying that's not true?
That's not true. The marriage is not dating.
Okay.
It is a very, very different animal. That's the first issue. So I want to give you three things that people hope, wish, and pray won't change once they get married.
I can't wait to hear this.
But almost always do.
Let me get my popcorn out here. I got me a good front row seat on this one. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sure that you could guess some of them. But the first one is the magical chemistry that they initially felt.
Okay.
And, you know, the magic during the dating phase is what convinces most people to get married in the first place. You feel like you're so connected to a person.
Mm-hmm.
You're so in sync with them.
Mm-hmm.
If things stay like this, it could be great. But when we first fall in love with a person, our bodies are literally on autopilot. The hormones, all of the chemical synapses that are happening, they are doing the work for us, almost to the point that it hinders us.
Mm.
We become so in love and blinded by the feelings that we have toward our partner that even some of the signs that they're not as compatible for us as they need to be, we overlook.
Ooh, we blinded by the light. Huh?
Yeah, some people call it beer goggles. somebody called it, you know, rose color glasses.
Oh,
but you know, we have this filter, and when we're falling in love, we accidentally overlook some really important cues that there's going to be some work that we need to do down the road.
Right.
So that was the first thing. The second thing is the sexual frequency. And I think last time I was on the show, I talked a lot about the SCX word, but of course, intimacy is such a big draw for some people in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning phase of the relationship, usually the frequency is high. So you got a person thinking,
it's
this is great.
Be this way, right?
If we could stay on this 7-day-a-week plan,
oh, God.
I'm going to be a happy camper, right?
They must be like 18, 20 years.
Right. But so the honeymoon phase, most people know it as the honeymoon phase. Clinicians call it the limerence phase. It is the phase in the beginning of the relationship where you're on autopilot or cruise control, as I like to call it. And it lasts for about 6 months to 2 years. And after that phase, what I like to teach couples is that it's like coming off of cruise control. When you're on cruise control, all you have to do is make sure that the car stays in its lane that if no other cars are around, it's going to maintain its speed all by itself. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you take the car off cruise control, you sit up in your seat a little bit more, you put both hands on the steering wheel, and you have to really engage that accelerator or that brake, right?
And you pay attention.
You pay attention. This is the part in the relationship where you actually have to start working at the intimacy and the sex.
That's profound.
Stop it. But this is where most couples end up having the problems, because when the cruise control pops off in the relationship and all of a sudden it feels like work, they start to think, I picked the wrong person.
And if you take it off cruise control and you're not holding the wheel, it's going to go in the ditch.
Right.
To be very visual.
Or when we're talking about affairs, it's going to bump into the back of somebody else's my God. Vehicle. Right.
That's priceless.
Right. You're going to have a fender bender. Okay. Could be a three-car pileup. Some people call that the threesome, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So the third thing that people don't want to change is the dating pattern.
Okay.
So when you're dating, often, again, in that limerence phase or that honeymoon phase, you are liking the person so much that you just want to be with them wherever they are.
Right.
So if you are a couch potato, but you're falling in love with somebody, you may be inclined to be out and about with them doing things you wouldn't normally do. If you're a very social person, you may be inclined to snuggle up with them and watch a movie and stay in much more than you normally would.
Right.
So the issue is that we kind of misrepresent who we are because we are overriding our natural tendency just to be with the other person. But like all good things, when that comes to an end and you have to start to work at the relationship, you naturally fall into your normal pattern.
Right.
And then you look up and your partner wants to sit on the couch and you want to be out and about.
Right.
And you think, oh my God, we have nothing in common.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there something you can do in this? Now, like we talked about in the business life cycles, I mean, we don't have a crystal ball, but we do know that these cycles will happen just as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Is there something you should be doing during these early cycles to predict or to forestall or to mitigate some of these later occurrences or problems?
One of the things that I think is so important is to date your partner through at least all four seasons of the year. It seems so counterintuitive, but if you haven't seen how your partner reacts summer, spring, winter, and fall,
Right. You
can't predict their moods, how they change and whatnot. And I already gave you that tip that the limerence phase, it lasts from about 6 months to 2 years.
Right.
So after about 2 years, sometimes a little longer with other couples, you know, you can expect that people can't keep up the charade anymore.
Right.
It's not intentional, but if you can stay with a person that long, you at least have a better chance of knowing who they really are once they settle into the relationship.
Can I bring this back to the business parallel?
Please, because do, brother.
This is so profound, because when I'm consulting clients and they're about to go on a spending spree, for instance.
Yep.
I say, until you have seen this business go through all the cycles.
Preach to me.
Go through a year, go through 2 years, go through a upswing, a downswing.
Right.
You don't know what you're going to expect if you haven't gone through all the cycles.
True.
So you have to, I mean, you almost have to, even though when you're on cruise control, you can't go to sleep.
Correct.
Because you don't always get a warning bell of what that next cycle is when it's going to start.
Right.
A lot of times you don't see it coming at all.
Or a car jumps into your lane.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And the same thing in relationships.
No, you are on point. And I know we only have a couple of minutes, so I really just want to wrap up talking about what to do if you find that you married a person who is an opposite.
Okay.
So you know how the limerence phase or that honeymoon phase can lead you to believe that you have more in common than you initially really do have in common.
You don't just call Teacher Hillman the divorce attorney. Well,
you know, if you haven't tangled up any assets or made any babies, then it may be an amicable resolution there. But it's usually not that black
and
white.
Okay, it's not.
So,
we're not
you know,
at that point yet.
Right. Okay. Usually when people realize that they've married the opposite, fear sets in.
Mm-hmm.
They start to worry that their partner is not going to be able to meet their needs.
Okay.
And then they get paralyzed in that space. However, you've got to expect from this point forward that cruise control is going to end.
Okay.
That's the first thing, right?
Okay.
That at some point, you're going to have to work at intimacy. You're going to have to work at the dating patterns or keeping the love alive. And you are going to have to work at creating that mutual respect and affection for each other, because the chemistry is not necessarily something that's going to naturally happen anymore. And that's a sober discussion that I have to have with people, because they're looking at their neighbor's relationship and they married somebody that's more like them. So they're always together and doing little things and whatnot.
Wearing matching outfits.
Crushed velvet track suits, right, with the matching hat. Right, but that's not going to be your relationship.
Right.
Right. So last thing is that you can't become resentful because you have to work at the connection. You actually have to take your foot off of the brake and put it on the accelerator and move the relationship to where you want it to go. Find a handful of things that you and your partner can stomach doing together that you really, really enjoy. And then have your safe other relationships where, you know, you're with people who are more similar to you. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
So if she doesn't like sports, you have a weekend with the guys where you all go out and play football.
Correct. Correct. And if he doesn't like, you know, shopping or reading novels, that's okay. Join a book club. But you and your spouse figure out the handful of things that you do together and can enjoy, and you move on with life, and you figure out ways to build a connection and not look at your neighbor's connection, because it's not going to look like yours.
Well, the CPM guy in me sees this circle, a concentric circle, the things that where they overlap. You focus on those things.
That's it.
And work on that.
And come next on thing you now. Know,
hold on a second now, Winnie. We're going to let people know how they can find out more about you and how to contact you. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up, we're going to have Mr. Antoine Thompson of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers talking about an event that's coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
Good morning, this WOL traffic update brought to you by Unbound.org. Interloop is very slow from Richie Marlboro Road down past Route 4 Pennsylvania Avenue with the construction in the left lane. Eastbound on Pennsylvania Avenue between 9th and Constitution Avenue, it looks like there are temporary lane closures there. 295 northbound is slow from the 11th Street Bridge to East Capitol Street. A boy from Kenya dreams of finishing his education. An elder longs for community in Guatemala. Help them write a new story at unbound.org. Now your WOL weather forecast brought to you by Compassion International. For today, sunny, high around 60 degrees, clear overnight down to 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high near 63. You can't change the whole world, but you can change the world for a child in poverty. Choose your child now at compassion.com/radio. Steve Hirschhorn for 1450 AM and 95.9 FM, WOL, where information is power.
We are talking about life cycles in business and in relationships, and I have in the studio my co-host, Miss Wena Cullins. She said, call me Wena.
That's it.
And I'm going to oblige happily. I ain't trying to get knocked upside the head in here. I got enough knots on my head already.
Right. I'm deadly with a frying pan.
Well, Wena, this is great information, and I think I hope the audience takes heed, because it doesn't mean that it's over. You just have to take some steps. You have to get good information, follow good advice.
Absolutely.
I'm sure there are some couples out here that are saying they're bumping heads with each other and they just didn't get the information.
Right. People are in perfectly good marriages, but at the point where it starts to go south because they can't find that common ground, they think that it's time to chuck it.
Well, tell us this. How can somebody find out more about you and how to take advantage of your wonderful services, please?
Right. I'm right here in the DMV. I have an office in Largo or Upper Marlboro, Maryland, depending on what month of the year it is. The post office likes to change our zoning a lot, right? Uh-huh. But you can find me at my office at 301-592-7244. 301-592-7244 if you want to stop by for a consultation or an appointment, or you can follow me on social media for sure at Weena Cullens, LCMFT. That's WeenaCullinsLCMFT. That stands for Licensed Clinical Marriage and Family Therapist. That's my specialty. Or go to WeenaCullins.com. or couplesonthecouch.com, where I'm blogging. I have guest bloggers who are writing about all things relationship. And look out for my book that's coming out later this year called Relationship Goals, where I'm going to take you behind my closed door to answer some of the rawest, realest questions from couples who are battling in their relationships.
I am looking forward to that, Weena. Thank you. Hang around. Folks, this is The Marketing Pulpit. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. I have Ms. Weena Cullens. We have an exciting show as always. Now, this month, we've been talking about debt. We've been talking about wealth. We've been talking about real estate. We've been talking about a lot of things. So this is a month where we've actually focused on some of the income and financial challenges facing our community. That's why I'm happy to invite our next guest to the booth. This gentleman, he has all kind of good creds out here. It's Antoine Thompson. He's the National Executive Director of the NAREB. That's a mouthful. National Association of Real Estate Brokers. Welcome to the show, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I know you are a legend in this town.
Man.
I got a chance to read up on you a little bit And I want to thank you. NAREB is the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. We were founded in 1947. We are the oldest black real estate trade association in America. And we were a key advocate in the passage of the U.S. Fair Housing Act and law, which was created 1 week after the assassination of Dr. King.
Get up out of here.
And wow. The law was passed after Dr. King was assassinated. Many of the streets of America and cities of America were up in smoke. People had tried for almost a decade to get the law passed, but there was a lot of opposition by a lot of whites in the real estate industry. And so in response to that, the riots at that time, President Johnson signed that bill into law the day of Dr. King's burial. And wow. And so since April 11th of 1968, it's been a continued struggle to desegregate housing in America.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, 50 years after the assassination of Dr. King, the rate of home ownership for African Americans is 41%, the same as it was in 1968.
You know what I found significant is that Dr. King, in his final years, he was pushing for economic empowerment. That was one of his main themes.
He was. In fact, in August of 1968, he gave a very powerful speech at our annual convention in San Francisco.
Was that right?
Which is often quoted, where he talked about how whites were given land in America to settle the West, and how the Homestead Act helped white America, and how after during the Depression, the federal government came out with all these programs to help white America become homeowners as they came home from World War II. So he chronicled that in a very passionate way at our convention in August of 1967. And so, and when we think about the creation of suburban America, that was created with the help of the federal government. And most people don't know that.
Right.
You know, most whites will say, well, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Well, there are people alive that were involved. Right. And the fact of the matter is, prior to the Great Depression, white homeownership was a little higher than blacks, but not 40%, 30+% higher.
Wow.
It's been able to grow since the 1930s. Because remember, when they created the Federal Housing Administration, what we call Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac,
right,
and all
right.
these groups that provide financing for home ownership, at that time, for 30 to 40 years, black people couldn't get those loans.
Right, right.
So when you talk about VA loans to help people come home from World War One, rather from World War Two in the Korean War, those folks, those white soldiers, were able to move to the suburbs, right?
Right.
They
right.
moved out of the city to the suburbs, right? And so that created legacy wealth for them.
Mm. Preach.
And that's why we have these generations of blacks who, you know, in their families, maybe 4 out of 10 people own a house, whereas in white families, 7 out of 10 people, 8 out of 10 people own a house. So they expect to own a house. It's the norm. It's like going to high school for them, right?
Right,
it's
right.
expected, you know? And so when we talk about these disparities in America, NARAB is constantly fighting to break down those barriers. In fact, I was just at a forum at the museum a few minutes ago.
Okay.
And they were talking about fair housing. And I was so upset. I said, because if you're going to tell a story, tell a whole story.
Go ahead.
America has always helped white people become landowners, property owners,
right.
through financing, through giving them 50, 100, 300 acres of land. We were trying to get 50 acres to move. They were getting 300 acres,
right.
500 acres
Preach
for generations.
Preach.
And so that's how you get this legacy wealth. Then it didn't stop there. They gave them financing that right. the government said we couldn't have because you were black. So that's how we got to this point right now. And so when you look at why do more white people go to college? Because they have a higher home ownership rate.
Mm.
They can use their line of equity in their house to buy, to send their kids to college. When our people rent, you know, in some of our school districts, some of the kids move 2 to 3 times a school year. Home ownership provides stability, right?
Right.
And so this issue about creating home ownership is so important, and that's why we're doing this event tomorrow at the Sports and Learning Center. Tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Because even though Prince George's County is the most affluent black county in America, our home ownership rate in this county is not even equal to the national average.
Get out of here.
Of whites, which is 71%. The average white home ownership rate is 71%. That's the average. So that means that some white folks are lower. And some white folks are a lot higher. And so for the most affluent county in the United States of America, for where black people live,
right.
our average is not even 71%.
We're supposed
Ladies
to be trail
blocks. We should be at 80%, right?
Right?
Meaning we have some work to do.
Well, Antoine, I tell you, we could go on forever. We're going to run out of time. But I'd like you to give us a little more information on the event tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. The event is it's a Community Wealth Building Day by the United Realtors of Prince George's County. It's Saturday, April 21st, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at the Prince George's County Sports and Learning Complex, 8001 Sheriff Road in Landover, Maryland. It is free. It is free. Prince George's County Sports and Learning Complex in Landover, Maryland, tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please bring your family there. If you want information on home buying, if you worry about losing your house, you need some help on that as well. If you want to know about, there's 1,000 of down payment and closing cost assistance programs, a lot of misinformation, a lot of disinformation out of there. We want to make sure that you come and get some of that information so that you can grow wealth for your family. Don't be fooled. The wealth gap in America, average black person is about $7,000 a year after all their bills. A white person is well over $100,000. That's because
wow.
they own property. They own residential and commercial property that they can then transfer from one generation to another generation. Come buy a piece of America. I don't care if you buy a vacant lot. Buy something in America that says that that you own some of this land.
Antoine, I get the impression you've done this before.
I've done it a couple times.
This brother can talk, boy. This brother got me on the edge of my seat over here. My goodness. Folks,
Community Wealth.
That's the Community Wealth Building Day at the United Realist of Prince George's County, Saturday, April 21st from 10 to 2. Folks, get on out here. We're having a lot of events coming up. Go to marketingpulpit.com and look out all the events we are having. And we've been focusing on wealth and home ownership and debt and how we need to move the ball. We talked about these cycles, folks. Life is about a cycle. When you're making money, you got to know what to do with this money. Absolutely. Invest in real estate. Let's change this needle. Let's change this paradigm. I want to thank you, Antoine.
Thank you for having us.
Always a pleasure.
This has been a pleasure, folks. Go to Marketing Pulpit, find out more about our guests, the events that's coming up, and don't you forget to join us next week at the same time right here on the Marketing Pulpit. And if you want to be successful, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing at the right time, and you got to do it right. Enough talk. Let's get to work.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM.
Good morning, I'm Angela Anderson. Here's the latest from News1.com, brought to you by Compassion International.